Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Well, you have your Bible open to Exodus 33, and I want to continue in some studies that I've been doing in Exodus 33 as we kind of go back and forth from Exodus 32, 33, 34, and the book of Hebrews. But this morning, I have some thoughts that I'd like to share with you out of Exodus 33, and that tonight, Lord willing, will be in Exodus 34. I was thinking this past week, this month, I get a little confused. Is it a month? Is it a week? About pastor's appreciation. And I want to take this opportunity to, as a pastor, say I appreciate you. I do. I appreciate the church body of Fellowship Baptist Church. Good folks, and just easy to pastor. And I know you pray for me, and I want you to know I love you and pray for you. And I appreciate the assistant pastors that God has given me here at Fellowship Baptist Church, their families, good people. And I know you appreciate them. You're blessed to have these men and their families to watch over and to care and to pray for you. I thought about Moses. Man, we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning how that he certainly was a good leader, wasn't he? I mean, he cared about the people. You know, there was a time when God told him, Moses, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, we'll just wipe these people out and I'll just start over with you. And I could see if Moses would have said, I'm for that. Amen. let's get on that after some of the things that had happened. But you know what Moses did? You know what he did in chapter 32. He got on his face before God and he said, God, he said, don't do it. He said, I just pray that you would blot my name out if you're going to take them. He put himself on the block, the sacrifice block for them. And I think that's just a good sign of caring, loving leadership. A man who was very patient. Now, he had his moments. But you think about it sometime when you have an opportunity. And we have some good leaders at Fellowship Baptist Church. And I trust that you would just take a moment sometime this coming week and just read about how God worked in Moses' life and how Moses said, you know, that's the easy thing is to start with another group of people. That's the easy way. I want to work with these people. I want to work with them and help make them what they ought to be for you, Lord. And he said, plus there's a group of Egyptians watching. There's a lost world watching. And he said, I want them to see that God can change lives. And I'm here to tell you he can. God can change lives. And we see where a remnant made it into the promised land, and God did great things to them and gave them great victories. Well, in chapter 33, you have your Bible open there. Through life, we have this thing called good news and bad news, and that's the way the chapter begins. It begins, God said, Moses, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The good news is, in chapter 33, verses 1, 2, and 3, he said, I'm going to send you up to that land that I gave you. And he said, I swear it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And he said, I'm going to send an angel before you in verse number 2, and I'm going to drive out the enemies. And he said, that land is a good land. In verse 3, it's flowing with milk and honey. That's good news. Amen. Going to do what I said I was going to do. In spite of all of this, you know what had just happened in chapter 32, the golden calf experience, how that they had strayed and worshiped an idol. And God said, in spite of all of that, he said, the good news is, this is what I'm going to do. He said, but now here's the bad news. He said in verse number 33, look right in the middle of verse 33, chapter 33, verse 3. He said, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. That's the bad news. And that is some bad news. That's bad news. Then he said, in chapter number 4, the scripture says, when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. Now, I want you to get this. They mourned. They were moved by this. This really bothered them. And I have to ask myself a question, and I trust you would ask yourself a question this morning. Does it bother us when the presence of God is not among us? Does it bother us? Or do we just go on business as usual? It bothered the people. And I want to show you what they did. And I think it's very interesting. The Bible says that when they heard these evil tidings in verse number 4, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. Now, certainly, this is speaking of the jewels and the jewelry that they had given to build the golden calf, but it also could mean that they had on garments and they were dressed in attire that they were partying and reveling and all of that, and they said, you know what, this is not a time for that. You know, in the scripture, when they would get under such a burden, they would clothe themselves in sackcloth and ashes. They wanted to show that they were troubled. Outwardly, they wanted to show we're troubled. And I believe that's the message here. I believe the message is not only are we troubled that we gave up our jewelry to build something that was going to become an idol, but we're going to not put on that clothing. We're going to take that clothing off that what we were used in participating in some things that we did. And you can read about that in chapter 32. We discussed it some time ago. And we're not going to put that on, because this is not a time for that. And it's an outward showing that we are moved by this. We are bothered by this. And I think this is good for people. I think it's good for you. I think it's good for me that we get to a place in our lives where there's just some things we're not okay with. Whether it be about something that's going on in the lives of society, or whether it's something that's going on in our own personal life, we're just not good with it. We say, you know, this is just not acceptable. We ought to be a little harder on ourselves sometimes. Amen. This is just not acceptable. This is not what God expects of me. This is not what God saved me to do. And so I don't want to go there, you see. And so I think that's what we're seeing here. Verse number 5 says this. It says, the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Now therefore put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. God said, I want to see an outward show of an inward work. And I think that's something that ought to be seen even in our day. Now, verse number 6 says, the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Now, this is all background work. And then Moses done something very, very peculiar. And I don't want you to miss this. Moses, in verse number 7, took the tabernacle. Now, this is not the tabernacle of the congregation. It's not the tabernacle that Moses went to the mount to get the blueprint of. We'll see where that comes into play later on. But this is just a temporary abiding place where God could meet with the people in the cloudy pillar. But Moses had it within the camp. But I want you to notice what he does, because I think there's a great lesson here for you and for me. It's easy sometimes when everyone's doing something just to do that. So the tabernacle is within the ranks. It's within the camp. And when people go to the tabernacle, when they're there around the tabernacle, others are there, and so they can do things by formality. You can go to church by formality. It can become just a formality. You can do a lot of things just because other people are doing it. I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, in case what you are doing is a bad thing. But I am saying that if all we're doing is going through the motions, there's a lot to be missed by that. We miss a lot by that. Because we get into this mindset, this familiarity to where we just do things because, well, it's what we've always done. And Moses, he got that message among the people. He said, you know, these people have become so comfortable with church, with the tabernacle, okay? You understand where I'm coming from? They've become so comfortable with this. He said, I'm going to move it outside so that it can become an individual choice to where they go out there or not. And as a matter of fact, the Bible even says this. This is not just something that I've concocted or that I've dreamt up. The Bible says it. Look in verse number 7. Read it as I read. You read along. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. I like that. And he said, so that everyone which sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. In other words, it wasn't going to be just a familiarity, just a thing that you did out of habit or because everyone else was doing it. Right? I mean, it's convenient. We'll just do it. Everybody's doing it. The family's going. We'll just go with them. Right? Now, this is something that was going to take a deliberate decision, a choice. An individual choice. I like that. I like when God challenges me that way. How about you? I like it when God places a challenge on me individually and says, what is it worth to you? What is this worth to you? I like it. And I think Moses, as a great leader, is challenging the people, and he's saying, you know, you're sorry, but I want you to know, and it's not for me. He said, I'm doing this for you. I want you to know that you're not just sorry that God caught you. You're not just sorry that God said he's going to judge what you've done. You're not just sorry for that. It's kind of like as a child. You know, when you get caught doing something and you say, I'm sorry. Well, are you sorry that you got caught? Or are you really sorry for the deed that you've done? And this is what's happening here. And Moses said, I want to give you something to test this by. And so he moved the tabernacle far away, the Bible says in verse 7, far away. But that didn't stop some of the people. Because the Bible says in verse number 7 that everyone, look at it now, that everyone that sought the Lord, not everyone, everyone which sought the Lord, everyone that said, you know what, we are not okay without God's presence among us. We are not okay with this. We are not okay with the news that we have heard. That's not okay with me. And I want to do something about it. I'm going to do what God has laid on my heart to do. And so they went. I like it. I think it's good for us. We need to be challenged. Verse number 8, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass, Moses entered into the tabernacle. The cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. Now watch what happens. God shows up. God said, I'm going to see, back in verse number 5 and 6, he said, I'm going to see what I'm going to do with you. And then Moses takes this step, and God seen the heart of the people. Many of the people, not all of them, but many of the people went out to the tabernacle. And when God saw the heart of the people, when God saw that the people was not okay without him, he showed up in the cloudy pillar. It descended, and then what happened? God is back. Amen. God is back. You know what happens when God comes on the scene? Hey, this always happens. Why is God's presence important, preacher? You say, well, I like the euphoria of it. I like the feel of it. I like the sense that I get from it. Well, there's some things that are just far more important than any of that. It produces worship. Watch what the scripture says in verse number 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped. Now, here's where it's at. See, that's why we meet here. The old timers used to call this the meeting place. We're going down to Sunday meeting. Amen. Meeting, yeah, we're going to meet with God. We're going to meet with God. It's not about meeting your brothers and your sisters. Thank God for that. Listen, we thank God that we have a kindred spirit here. But what would it be if God never met with us? If God never showed up, would we be okay with that? I pray to God that we would never be okay with that. That we would never be okay with that. That it would so concern us that we would be willing to do what it took to show God, God, we're not okay with that. We're not all right with that. And God saw. And God showed up in the form of the cloudy pillar as he did in the Old Testament day in the days of Moses. And the people worshiped God. Now today I want you to worship. I want you to worship. I want to worship. You say, preacher, what is worship? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today and tonight. But I don't think it's productive. As a matter of fact, I know it's not productive if we continue to come to church and do not worship. It can almost become like a religious ritual. And it's not good for us, brethren. It's just not good for you. It's not good for me. It's not good for anyone. Just to come to church and not worship. Church alone is not good enough. Say amen with me. Listen, you know what I say is so. Our world, our country has gotten to the place where it's church. It's just church. And church in and of itself is not good enough. We need worship services.
We need to get to the place of where we realize the importance of worship. Worship, not just church. And so the Bible says that this happened, and God showed up, and when God showed up, then people worshiped, you see. Why? Because in order for there to be worship, there has to be someone to worship. Amen. Yes. And when there's not, if we're not careful, we'll begin to worship things and people. That's what's happening in a lot of places today. Things and ideas and programs and preachers and all manner of things are being worshiped instead of who deserves to be worshiped, and that's only one. That's God Almighty. This preacher right here, I deserve no worship. Don't you ever think that I want to be worshiped. I don't want to be worshiped. I want to worship, but I don't want to be worshiped. And I pray to God that you would never put me in a place where I do not belong. I do not belong in that place in anyone's life. God belongs on the place of worship. God alone. So the scripture says in verse number 10 that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, verse 11, I'm sorry, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, how would that have been? Amen? How would that have been? Does he walk with you? Does he? Does he talk with you? Does he tell you that you are his own? There's nothing like it. Are you listening to me? Don't you become so familiar with this Christian experience that you're okay with just going to heaven. Hey, I thank God I'm going to heaven. You say, preacher, are you going to heaven? I'm just as sure as that as I'm sure I'm standing right here today. I'm going to heaven. You say, well, you must be a pretty good guy. That's not why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved my worthless soul. But it was not worthless to him, because he died for me and he saved me. That's why I'm going to heaven, because I have placed my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because God's good. And everyone can go. Not everyone will go, but everyone can go. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And so the presence of God meant something here. And Moses, as he's leading the people, he speaks to God. And I pray that you know what it is to have the presence of God in your life. It meant something. And I just want you to see what it meant to Moses as we get now into verse number 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now what's happening here? A lot of things are happening here. And I trust that you would make mental note or write them down, because I need this in my life, and I believe that you need it in your life. What is going on right here? Here's a man who is saying, God, I can't do this without you. I need you to get this done. I'm not okay navigating myself through life. I need your help. Now, here's a man that was a great leader, a strong leader. All right? He had great training, both by man and God. He got a lot of training in Egypt. Now, don't you miss the background of the man who was saying what he's saying here. He was an intelligent man. We're not talking about some hick. We were talking yesterday. I think some people think you have to assassinate your brains to become a Christian. Some of the smartest people ever to live, Christian people. So don't you fall for that trick. You don't have to be a big dummy to trust God. It's kind of unreasonable. We heard it in Sunday school last week by Brother Mike Frew. Listen, it's unreasonable to think that you come from a monkey. That's about dumb. I'm just going to put it out there like it is. That is about dumb, that you come from some monkey or some single-cell amoeba washed up on shore and rode around the sand, and presto, man came. Hey, that's about dumb. We were created in the image of God. God Almighty made man. And I will not back off of that, because this book teaches it. Moses was a schooled man. He was a man of intelligence. He was a man who had a lot of means. The Bible speaks of the treasures that he had in Egypt in the book of Hebrews. He was a man that was full in a lot of areas of his life. But there's something that he was missing. While he was full in his head with the knowledge from the best schools in Egypt, while he was full in his pockets with the treasures and the things of this world, while he was full in many areas of his life, He was empty in his heart because he did not know the God of the Hebrews. He did not know the God of heaven. And so it sent him on a search, on a quest. And thank God, God was there when Moses reached out to God, and now he's come to this place and he's saying, oh, I know what it is to be without the presence of God. He's saying, listen to me, children of Israel. I know what it is to be without God. I was in Egypt without God one time in my life. And he said, you don't ever want to get there in your life. You can be full in a lot of areas of your life, but if you're empty in the God department, you're empty. Amen. And so this man that's making much of the presence of God knew what it was to be empty in that place at some point in his life. And those of you who are saved, and under the sound of my voice, if you're saved in the grace of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm speaking of. He said in verse number 12, he said, God, he said, I want you to show me the way you want me to do it. And I'm going to ask you, is that the way you live your life? He said, you've told me what you want, but will you show me how to do it? Brethren, don't you ever get, and God help me, never to get to the place where we say, well, you know what, I don't need God. See, that's the way a lot of folks live their life. Well, I don't need God. I've got this. I've got this thing called life. I can navigate through life. I don't need God. I've got an education, or I've got some things, or I've got, you know, some training from this one and that one, and so I don't need God. And so Moses comes to God, and he's saying, God, don't you leave us, because we need you. We've got to have you. We need you to guide our lives. I need God. You need God. We need God. He said in verse number 12, he said, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. I can't do it without you, Lord. I need some help. I hope you realize this morning now, you need some help in life. Everybody needs somebody. Amen. And the person we need most is God Almighty. And then he said this, look at what he said. He said, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. What are you saying? He's saying, Lord, he said, I want to please you. Look at verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. God, I want to do it your way. I don't want to do life my way. You know, for 19 years, I tried life my way. 19. Some of you for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, maybe longer, you tried life your way. And we ought to know that life our way doesn't work. We've been here long enough. We've seen too much. We ought to know by now that life man's way just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I don't want to do it my way. I tried it my way and that didn't work out for me. How about you? Amen? How about you? But you know what? We're so stubborn and hard-headed. We're like these folks right here. God said they were a stiff-necked people. We know that it doesn't work out our way, and yet we will still, try to do it our way. Right? Yeah. Yes, we will. They did it too. We're no different. But watch what Moses said in verse number 13, I'm sorry. He said, if I found grace in thy sight, he said, show me now thy way. Lord, I want to please you. I want to do it your way. Would you show me how to do this? You know, there's just something in us. We hate that, especially us men. I tell you right now, if we ever get lost, my wife and mother-in-law that travels with me, they're in trouble because I'm not going to stop and get directions. I'll say it over and over again. I know where I'm at, I think. I don't say that out loud, that part. And I just think, if I keep driving, I'm going to see something that looks familiar. I'm probably the only man in here that's that way, right? Bunch of hypocrites, what you are. Hey, it's pride. We don't like to ask people, show me. We're from that group that sits in class, and the teacher says, everybody understand? We'll just sit there. Don't understand any of it. Praying that somebody raise their hand and say, teacher, we don't know what's going on, but won't do it ourselves. You know why? Pride. Listen to me. Pride. Instead of humbling ourselves and saying, God, we can't do this. We need your help. Thank God Moses got to the place. He knew We're dealing with a man who knew what it was to be without God. He knew what it was to be with God. And he said, I like it with God all the time. And I don't want it to be without God. God, I don't want it to be without you. As a matter of fact, if you'll skip down, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. When God said in verse 14, he said, my presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. That speaks of his presence in the first part of the verse. It speaks of his peace in the second. God's presence always brings peace. Peace. Thank God for the peace and the presence of God. And I like what Moses said in verse number 15. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. Amen, brother Moses. I'm with you on that one, brother. Amen. God, if you don't go, I don't want to go. We'll stay out here and wander in the wilderness if you'll be here with us. I'd rather be wandering in the wilderness with God than in the promised land without you. Isn't that what Moses said? Amen. Listen, I think sometimes we think that, you know, this and that, and I can name a whole host of things. This is what's going to bring us comfort and rest and safety. None of that brings it. Listen, only the presence of Almighty God will bring you that. The presence and the peace of God come from God himself. He said, Lord, I want to please you in verse 13. He said, I want to do it your way. When's the last time you've asked God that or told God that? God, I want to please you. I want to do this your way. Show me your way so I can do it your way. Listen to me, young people. While you're young, this is good for you to get down in your life. You need God's direction in your life. Oh, not me, preacher. Yes, you do. You say, well, what about you, preacher? Will I ever get to the place where I can just go on? Who's the oldest man in here? You notice I didn't say woman. How old are you, Brother Walter? 83. Got anybody here older than 83 years old? Raise your hand. I guess that's... I took a pretty good guess there, Brother Walter. It's not that you look 83, brother. I just took a guess. You don't think when you get 83... I hope Brother Brown's watching today. 94. 94. Dr. Thompson. 94, right? 94. Is he 95 now, Brother David? 94. You think these men have gotten to the place where they say, oh, now we've got this thing down now, God. We don't need you. No, they realize now more than ever how much they need God. Man. Young folks, please listen to your pastor this morning. Get to the place where Moses was. Get in verse 13 and say, God, show me your way. God, I want to please you. I want to do it your way. I don't want to do it my way, Lord. Yeah, we could go on without you. So many have before. So many still do, and so many will again. God, we could go on in life without you. We don't necessarily need you to guide us. We could do this way, thing our way, but God, we don't want to do it this our way. We want to do it your way. Show us your way so we can do it your way. We want to please you. Not interested in pleasing myself. Not interested in pleasing others. God, we want to please you. And that's what Moses said. Look at verse number 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? You know what separates God's people from all the rest? God's presence. God's with us. Amen? Is that what he's saying? He said, this is what makes us different. It'll make you different. It'll make me different too. And so we're going down, and the scripture says that the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing in verse 17, that thou hast spoken and found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said, Moses, and there's great comfort here. Don't miss this. He said, I know who you are, Moses. I not only know where you are, I know who you are, I know what's going on, I know everything about you. Now, this is a wonderful thing, folks. God knows where you are. Not just geographically, emotionally. Listen to me, financially, socially, God knows where you are in life. It's a wonderful thing that God knows about us. He loves us. He wants to help. He wants to get involved, and he wants to guide us. But we've got to come to the place where Moses came and said, Lord, I don't want to do this without you. And he said, if you're not going to go up, then don't carry us. In verse number 15, he said it. He said, if you're not going to go up, don't carry us up. The Lord said, I'm going to do this. And then Moses asked something. This is where I'll close this morning. We'll pick up here tonight. But I don't want you to miss this. Moses asked something very unusual. And I talked about it a little bit. I'm going to get a little deeper. He said in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, here's a great conversation between God and one of his servants. God and one of his own. All right? And essentially, this started out by this man saying, God, he said, I want what's best for your people. I want what's best for us. And then he said, realize we're going to have to do things a little different. Can't be business as usual. And so they stripped themselves. That was a good step for them. They stripped themselves of the ornaments. Then he camped, you know, took the tabernacle outside, afar off from the camp, and people began who wanted God to get involved, took those steps. And then he got into this dialogue. He got into this conversation, and he said, God, he said, you know, I just want to please you. I want to do things that are pleasing to you. Can I ask you something? Does that mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to folks in 2020 that we do things to please God? We get so caught up in all the things and people we want to please. Listen, I'm a firm believer in this. If we would just get focused on pleasing one individual, God Almighty, things would fall into place. They really would. We all know what peer pressure is, and we know what it is coming up, and we just think we have to be cool, and we have to, you know, please other people, and we have to put on a front and this and that. You get concerned about pleasing God, and watch how your life begins to take shape. It's something. It really is. And Moses said, God, I want to please you. I want to serve you, Lord. I'm asking you these things because I just want to serve you better. Does that mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you to serve God better? This is not a joke, all right? This is reality. This is reality. You see, you have a choice in life just like I have a choice in life. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Praise God. But what about on the way there? God had already told them, you're going to the promised land. I promised it, you're going. Can I tell you, if you're saved, you have eternal life, you're going to heaven. But what about the journey? God never intended life to be this wrecking ball of shambles and hardships and sorrow and grief. Yes, there's grief. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's valleys. But our life shouldn't be characterized by a bad case of the eternal blues. Amen. We're God's children. God wants us to live the victorious Christian life. God wants you. God wants me. And Moses realized that, and he said, God, he said, we could go through this life without you, and we would be none the better. Yeah, we'll go to the promised land. Yeah, we'll get the inheritance. And thank God for that. Don't misunderstand me. But what about today? What about tomorrow? What about next week? What about 5 years from now if we're still alive and Jesus hasn't come? 10 years from now? What about our lives? We need God. We need God's presence. We need God's word. We need God's power. And that's what Moses is saying. God, we don't want to do life without you. I don't want to get comfortable doing life without God. It can happen, brethren. Listen to me. It can happen. You get okay with doing a half a day without God, the next thing you'll know, the next thing I know, I'll be okay with doing a full day without God. We get okay with doing a day without God, we'll be all right with doing 2 days without God, then a week without God. And before we know it, we'll be living a life without God in our life to teach us and guide us and bless us and show us and instruct us, convict us, chasten us, get us back in line. We need these things. So I don't want to get so eternally minded that I get of temporal, of no benefit. You know, to where I'm just always thinking about going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I thank God. I think about it often. But I've got some things that God wants me to do here. And I think God has some things for you to do too, or you wouldn't be here. And we're going to need God's presence to do it. Now, what is the glory of God? I'm going to close with that this morning. We'll pick up tonight. What is Moses asking here? I want you to think about something between the services today. Look at it with me, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, here's a man already seen the glory of God. We're talking to a man. We're talking about a man who God spoke to from the burning bush. We're talking to a man that God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stretch out your rod, Moses. Moses has seen the miracles of God through the plagues on Egypt. The provision of God as he led the people to this place right here. Moses had seen the cloudy pillar, the pillar of fire. He had seen the glory of God. What is Moses asking here? I want to see your glory. You say, well, preacher, Moses could see it, but we can't. Well, I must remind you, Romans 15:4 and 1 Corinthians 10:11 says these things were written for our example. These things were written for our benefit right here. They're written for you and I. Can God get involved in a man's life and take a man to a level that he's never been before? You better know he can. Can God lift a man above the whole drum? Listen, the humdrum, ho-hum way of life and get him to a place that is, listen, that's above the circumstances of life? You better know God can do that. Can God get a man out of the wilderness? Can he get him out of Egypt? Out of the wilderness and into a promised land, a land of victory, to where a man can live a spirit-filled life, giving glory to God. Yes, he can. He can. But it's not God. It's man. Are you hungering? Are we thirsting for righteousness? If we're not, it's not God's fault. And we're going to miss some things in life. What does it mean? What is Moses saying here? He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What is God's glory? We'll talk about that tonight. But before we do, look what God responded to tell us a little bit. Just a little bit. And he said in verse 19, I will make all my goodness. We'll make all my goodness pass before thee. Somehow when we hear that, it doesn't register with us. See, God's so good to us. I'm going to look for that word Brother Davey was looking for earlier. We're spoiled. You start talking to a group of people like what's here today about God's goodness, and God's been so good to us, we've just about got to the place where we take his goodness for granted. I'm not indicting you. I'm just saying, hey, we could be that way if we're not careful. I remember when I first got saved, I'd go out and look up in the sky and see the stars, and I'd just bawl, boo-hoo crying. You know, hear the birds sing and think, wow, what a God. Enjoy a meal. All the things that God has given us, the goodness of God. You let that settle in on you. He said, Moses, you've asked me for something. He said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before thee. That's the first thing. Second thing, he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. You see that? I'm going to proclaim my name. And then he said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy. There's three things, just three. My goodness, my name, my sovereignty. Okay? I'm going to do what I want to do, to who I want to do it, when I want to do it. See, that's why he's God and I'm not. Now, don't you try that in life. But God said, I'm God and I can do that. And then something wonderful happened. And we'll talk about that tonight. Something wonderful happened. Did you know that we're going to heaven if you're saved? Did you know the Bible says in heaven that all the kings of the nations, now listen to me, Revelation 21, all the kings of the nations are going to bring in their glory. What is glory? Glory is something that sets you apart. When all is said and done, listen, I can't tell you the research I've run on this word glory. It's something. When all is said and done, glory sets you apart. See, when he asked for God's presence, he said, Lord, he said, it's your presence that sets us apart. It makes us different than all the other nations. The kings are going to bring their glory. Read Revelation 21, 22. Chapter 21, verse 23, 24, 25, and there's, they're going to bring their glory into the kingdom of God. What makes kings kings? There's something that sets them apart. He said, God, I want to see what sets you apart. What makes you you? He's basically saying, God, I want to see you. I want to see you. I don't want to see a representation of you. I want to see you. I want to see what sets you apart. I want to see why you're different. You're different than all the other gods. You're different than all your creation. I want to see you. What a request. What a request. God, I want to see you. And God said, well, now, it's a good request. And I can't fulfill it or you would die. But I'll tell you what I will do. And then he told him what he was going to do. We'll look at that tonight. Let's stand to our feet.